kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I've got a title today for our teaching, and we're calling this, We Are Entering the Battle Between God and Satan. We are entering the battle between God and Satan. And that was very clearly given to me this week. You know, sometimes I have to wait, and sometimes, I become impressed that that's what the Lord would want us to talk on or what it's going to be called. But it was almost instant to my mind. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's, and it's between Satan and God. And I trust that as we look at this, we're going to be able to put things into perspective. Because at the moment, we are very aware with news media and people and Christians, there's all a reaction going on and people taking sides. And it's all because they just do not understand. And when we begin to see that the battle is not ours, it is the Lord's. The battle is on because the enemy's time of being God of this world is coming to an end. And that is why the heavens and the earth are shaking, as the Lord has shown me and shown us in Hebrews 12. And I trust that this will start to make sense of it all, because it can be confusing. There are so many voices speaking. There are so many who are calling themselves prophets, are prophesying and speaking out and everything. And a lot of it is not according to Scripture, to the Word of God. And when we begin to focus on why this is all happening, the shaking of the heavens and the earth, we are realizing that the Lord is moving forward now, and he is soon to come and rule and reign. But we know that there is the final battle that is going to take place. And there are two battles, as I believe the Lord impresses to me, as we're going to look. There is the battle that is taking place spiritually in heaven. And we're going to look at this from Revelation 12, because I believe the Lord led me to this to show that this is where the battle is taking place. And there is to be the battle on the earth, which will be culminated with the battle of Armageddon, when all the armies of Antichrist will come into that region and there will try to fight against Israel and God's people and so on. And we will then see that the Lord will return and his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, and they will all be destroyed. And the Bible shows it absolutely clear. It'll be a mass of bodies. And it says the fowls of the air, the birds, will hover around. It'll be so great that the world has never seen before. But we have two battles on our hands. And the battle we are in is the spiritual one, and it is above. That is where we are. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We walk by faith and not by sight. and there is the battle that is after the flesh. Israel at present is after the flesh. The church is after the spirit. And until Israel's eyes are open and they receive their Messiah, they will still war and defend themselves after the flesh. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That is what they have been weaned from in their history. Whereas our warfare is spiritual, and we have been given all authority, power, and dominion in the name of Jesus to wield that battle before the powers of darkness. So that's where I'm coming from with regard to this. Now, Christ, as we know, is head of his church. And the church is coming to its final conflict. And tell me, if you will, to Revelation 12. We know this very, very well. But in the light of what we're talking about, I think we're going to view this yet with new light, hopefully. And we'll just start it off because I want to look at verses 1 to 4. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. We know that this is one of the most controversial bits at present in the church. And many are misinterpreting this. They're saying that the book of Revelation is to Israel. We know that it's not. It is to 7 Gentile churches. It opens up in the first chapter of Christ standing amongst the candlesticks, amongst the churches. Who is head of the church? Christ is, not Israel. Israel is after the flesh. The church is after the spirit. It is in heaven. A Jew now is one who is spiritual, circumcised in the heart, the Apostle Paul says. So we make that absolutely clear. But what is happening here? Well, we see another sign appears in heaven. And a great fiery dragon, which we know is the enemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. We know that rebellion took place in the courts of heaven. Satan, Lucifer, then thought he could be God, and a third of the angels thought he could do it. And as a result, he fell and they fell with him. So the war took place first in God's presence. We now know that through creation, God making the world, creating man in his image, he usurped this and he now is the God of this world. What we see from this is that there is war. And where is the dragon? And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child, verse 5, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up and to his throne. We are now coming to the climax of warfare in the church, because the man-child is soon to be delivered, to be born. And look what goes on there. It is to be delivered, born, because it is coming to the earth to rule and reign with Christ. And the devil is going to stop that in any way he can. That is what he's trying to do. But we know that it will not happen. The enemy is frustrated because the man-child, the overcomers, the wise virgins, in other words, are making themselves ready. And that is what is happening. They are making themselves ready in the womb. And so, because that is happening, the enemy is angry. He can't get at this. This is preserved, it is protected. And you know that protection over your life. There is something that is preserving and protecting us. I know that in my life. I know that over this assembly. And I know that with all those who are embracing the deeper life in the Spirit. There is a preservation that is supernatural that cannot happen in the natural, but it is happening. And we need to take note on this. We need to be encouraged by this, because at times in these conflicts and what we're going through, a lot of it just doesn't make any sense. You feel, you know, where's it all going? What's happening? And so on. And this is what's happening. He is preserving, he is keeping his remnants. And this riles the powers of darkness. This riles the enemy. As God is working with Israel, restoring her, getting her ready, so he's restoring the church with his headship coming back. The only thing he can do is in his wrath is to attack. That's what he does. And we are seeing the attack now on Christendom. And God is using this attack, as I'm seeing it, in which to expose the wise and the foolish virgins. If there's anything I'm beginning to see now, there is a distinction that's happening with those two. We're beginning to see by this extra vessel of oil, which we know as the oil of anointing, oil of preparation, we're seeing how vital that is for these last days, for this last lap. We really are. Now, it says in verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up to God and his throne. The war is in the church at present. And he wants to devour the first fruits that the church is bringing forth. The church must bring forth fruit. The church has been entrusted with the harvest. She has been entrusted to preach the gospel. And we know that we are to pray for the laborers. He makes it clear there's nothing wrong with the harvest. It's the laborers. And so he's trying to devour the first fruits. And he can't get at it because it is preserved by God. The first fruits have to be brought in and placed upon the altar. That is in heaven. And that is the bride who makes herself ready. And this is why I have been concerned, as I have been preaching online and through Instagram, as you know, I have been very burdened and concerned that there is a replacement theology going on, trying to replace Israel as the church. And she's not. She is not. Christ is head of his body, which is Jew, Greek, bond, free. But because they are going so overboard that they even make the book of Revelation to Israel only, and so of course they will interpret Revelation 12 as to Israel, the woman is Israel. It is not. It is to seven Gentile churches. And the Lord has really been, I believe, using me in which to really express that with a lot of Christians. And some are getting it. Some are seeing it, which is a blessing. Because once you get it, then you understand what Revelation 12 is about. Revelation 12 is often the missing link of interpreting and putting that book together. And a lot of your commentaries have got it wrong. And it's not to blame them, because we know the book is an unfolding. We wouldn't know unless the Holy Spirit is now ministering and speaking to us and unfolding in these last days. So that's why we preach it, we speak out on it, and there are some that are beginning to embrace and see it. And so we have this warfare now that is taking place. And there is this war in heaven, verses 7 to 9. And it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels. We're coming towards this. Who is God's warring archangel? It is Michael. And they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, with his angels were cast out with him. And it sort of goes on from there. We know the rest. So what is going on there? That is a battle. That is the final battle onslaught for the Christian church. And where is it taking place? In the heavens. To clear the heavens so that the church should be in the place that it should be and not where the enemy should be. And we are in that battle coming. We're moving rapidly towards it. And this is why we are in conflict. Have you been in conflict recently? Have you? I certainly have. Boy, has the devil been trying to put depression on me, trying to bring me down in every way and form. And you just put your hand up. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I do not receive this. And then, of course, you know why he's doing this. Because, of course, he fears, you see. And so these are just some of the things that he's up to. He's trying to work in any way he can to bring us down, to try and affect us, because he knows we are preserved and kept. So take comfort if the enemy's been working and having a real good go. Just say, well, whatever you're doing, I'm preserved and kept. The man-child is preserved and kept in the womb. And you cannot get at it. You see, he's trying to get at that because he knows that the birth of the man-child is going to be the final onslaught for the Christian church. And who comes to our defense? Who comes to war against him? the Archangel Michael, the warring angel. That's what takes place there. And then we see in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Further judgment. He's cast down now. He can no longer be the accuser of the brethren, the overcomers. They have overcome. They have been faithful. They have endured to the end. Philadelphian church, you cannot accuse it. You cannot touch it. They've had little strength, but they have kept with it. And that's why he cannot touch it, you see? And that's what the Lord is looking for. Do you feel you've got little strength? Because I know I do. I mean, I really do. I think, Lord, I just have to hold on to the fact that you haven't made a mistake. Because I think you have. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And you know, as I'm ministering this, this is ministering to some Christians all around the world. They're picking it up. They're picking it up. Just a few of them, a handful. But they're appreciative, you see. And that's all that matters. That's all that counts. We're not after numbers, because most of them that are on there, they all want their numbers. They keep telling you how many followers they have. Thousands. They're up to 2,000 now. We're up to 10,000. And that's a lot of time, all you hear. And what is that presenting? The broad way that Jesus said that leads to destruction. And they can't see it. It's the Laodicean spirit. But anyway, we are aware what goes on. And then, of course, 11 and 12, where it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So he now turns to the world, and he turns to Israel, and he turns to the rest of Christians that were left behind, the church. But God still preserves. God is still faithful, as you read it. So as God then is restoring his body, which we are right in the times of restoration, God is restoring Israel. And I just want to briefly remind ourselves of the history, very quickly, how God is restoring and the promise that he made right back in Genesis 12, the calling of Abram. And let's just remind ourselves what is going on here, in particular with what is happening now in the Middle East. War is war. And Jesus made it absolutely clear, you pick up the sword, you will die with the sword. Does our Lord put that in the positive or the negative? He doesn't put it in the positive. He puts it in the negative. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall see God. So we have these principles that our Lord revealed. But Israel, with her history, is still in the flesh. And thinks and acts in the flesh. And I want to make that absolutely clear. Because what we are seeing at present, through all this bloodshed, we are seeing at present, Israel is fighting for existence, to survive. And I think We see, we don't hear that in media. That is not something that is discussed. But that is what is happening. What would we do? What do we do with our own houses? Our cars? We lock them up. We lock our doors. Or we have security. What is all that for? To protect ourselves. And nations protect themselves with their armory, with their forces. That is human nature. That is what the fall has done, sadly, because fear entered in. So that is where I come from. Is Israel perfect? Not at all. Is what is happening, the bloodshed out there, is heinous. It is horrendous. And I don't want to get into the politics of all of that, because God doesn't call us to. I want to get into the Word of God to show you why this is happening. And we know anyway. But in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, here is where it all begins. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." There is God setting his plan of salvation for Israel through Abraham, and the plan of our salvation. We who are now grafted into the vine. Of course, that's not mentioned there yet, because a lot of history's got to take place. But there is God's divine plan right there. And you can't deny it. God is God. He's going to do what he wants. And so in verse 5 it says, "Then Abraham took his wife Sarah and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan." So they came to the land of Canaan. He's beginning to show the land that he's going to give to them, you see. And then we turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Verses 17 to 18. And here is where God confirms Abraham's faith, because God met up with him on occasions, continuing to reveal the covenant that he's making with him. And what does it say in verses 17 to 18? "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you, your descendants, as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the sea. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So there we are. God again confirms his covenant that he is going to bless the nations, bless Israel and his descendants. So we spiritually are after faithful Abraham. Thank God that he was able. He was faithful. And God tested him, didn't he? God tested his faith. And he said, are you prepared to give up your heir that I've given you, Isaac? And you know the story of where he obeyed. And he was going to offer him up on the altar. And he was ready with a knife to slay him. And the angel said, that's it. Don't do it. I've seen that you are ready to slay your son. Because you are willing to slay your son, I will give my son for the sin of the world. So we see a type. We see how God works the spiritual through into the flesh. How he works it from heaven. That's why it says in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. It has to be birthed first in heaven. That's the principle of how it works all the time. Well, then the journey goes on with Abraham. And Abraham has two sons, doesn't he? And his first son is Ishmael. God promised a son to them. And in the end, Sarah, his wife, said, well, I'm too old now. I'm way past it. You better go with your maid. And we know all the story of what happened there. And Ishmael was born. And then, after Ishmael, Isaac came of the promise. And so we see a distinction already taking place. Isaac is from above, spiritual, and Ishmael is from the earth, below. So you've got one of the spirit and one of the flesh that has taken place. And does the spirit and the flesh get on together? Do they agree? Not at all. We know that because it's our spiritual warfare going on with the spirit and the flesh. And so there was the conflict taking place. And so Sarah said to Hagar, the sons, the boys are not getting on. They better depart. And so you know the story where she was put out into the wilderness with her son Ishmael, and they're ready to die, and the angel comes and revives them and said, I'll make a nation out of Ishmael. See, God bless even Ishmael. Why? Because of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Even though it was his stepbrother, God said, I will bless. And he does, you see. And then the story goes on. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 25. We're briefly going through all of this to understand what it is that's going on today, now, the conflict. And if we look in Genesis 25, Genesis 25, verses 19 to 20, we see the genealogy of Isaac and Abraham his sons. And it says, and Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah his wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together with her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. and the other will serve the younger. Exactly what God said with Ishmael and Isaac. You see, the older should really be head. But God had a different plan. He said, no, the younger is going to be head. And here is our conflict. This is what is happening in the Middle East. And when you can grasp that and understand that, you'll see that this is a spiritual battle that is going on. Because God promised Israel a land. And that is why she will fight tooth and nail to keep that land. Because what is happening right now is she's being threatened. She could lose that land and go. And they're going to hold on with all their might to keep their land. The same as you would keep your house. You would keep your family if they were being threatened. Or whatever it is, there is something within us that fights what belongs to us. It might not be right. It may cause a lot of havoc and whatever, but that is what is happening. There's the struggle. That was the struggle going on with Rebecca. It's the spirit and the flesh in warfare is what's happening. Well, we know that Jacob is a fugitive. He's running away because he's stolen his brother's birthright. And again, he didn't want his birthright. It should have gone to him, but he didn't want it. So it went to the other. The same again with Isaac and Ishmael. God will give to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so he was a fugitive, running all his life. And in the end, God catches up with him, doesn't he? And he has 12 sons who are the sons of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's running, he's in conflict. God eventually restores the two brothers. But God has to do something with Jacob. What does he do? He has to change his nature, his heart. And it says he wrestled with the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel. And God put his thigh out. But what did he do? He changed his name to peace. Jerusalem, peace. He changed his nature, his heart, his circumstances. That's what he had to do. And God said, now from your 12 sons, I can now bring forth the children of Israel. And then the next story, of course, goes where they're in Egypt. And God raises up Moses. So I'm bringing all that out so that we can understand what is happening, what we are seeing happening now in these closing days. And as I close with this, I want to bring our attention to the book of Zechariah. This is an interesting book, Zechariah. It's right at the end. It's in the Minor Prophets. Zechariah, chapter 12. And we'll look at verses 1 to 9. And this is what's happening, I believe, now. As I believe the Lord's quickened this to me. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the... Wait a minute, I need to change my glasses. Oh, I put the wrong ones on. Bear with me a second, I just changed the different ones. The light's got quite bad in here. Ah, that's better. I can see now. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would have its way will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. And in that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its riders with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. Remember that Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. He's after the tribe of Judah. They're the ones that God set the government through David, the throne of David. For we see this coming right through in the last days. The government is set upon Christ's shoulder. He is going to come to rule and reign on the earth. He will be king. He will be governor. This is what it's referring to. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again to her own place, Jerusalem. And the Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. And in that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. That is God's choice. They are his people. God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. The war is coming against Almighty God. It is his choice. Yes, it is bloody. Yes, it is heinous. It is awful. But we cannot lose sight of God's covenant through Abraham right through to today. We must not lose sight of it. And this, of course, is why we're not popular. People do not want to hear that. That the warfare today is an Ishmael and Isaac problem. And it's heinous. And you cannot condone murder, butchery. And the most inhumane things have happened in this that I wouldn't even want to talk about on here that has happened to people and so on. But God is God. And God is offering repentance. We are living in the hour of grace when we can turn away from all these things and we can turn to the Lord, the God who is merciful and gracious. Because nobody wants to be around when the great tribulation begins. It will be the worst time ever on the earth. And God is offering that way of escape. But as I end with this now, we are entering the battle between God and Satan. That is what is happening. And we have to move with the Lord. Doesn't matter how we feel, what we're going through, or whatever it is. This is about a life and death survival we're coming to now. And we know where we are destined for. And praise God for this. And this is why we pray. We pray for Israel. We pray for the Middle East and what is going on because of what it's facing. I don't know whether a war will develop from this. They are talking about that it will. I don't know yet whether this is opening up into Gog Magog, the of the north. We're not sure about this, but all I am sure about is this battle now is between God and Satan.
Disaster. Let him in constancy fall.